I think it's in,
You're talking about Rona.
Yes, and I think it's in, talking about love and the difficulty of this concept of loving God. Which in the Shema it says, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol nafshecha, V'chol nafshecha. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. How can you love God? What does it mean to love God? And I think we can only understand, if we ever can, we can only understand loving God in the sense of experiencing love of people. If you can't experience loving someone and being loved by someone, then how are you ever going to go to this transcendental love that would be between God and man and man and God? I mean, I believe that God loves me because of having blessed me with the mother and father I spoke of, the wife I'm speaking of, and the identity as a Jew that I had spoken of, and my our children and relatives, my sister, my brother-in-law, a wonderful friend, all these wonderful blessings are why I know that God reaches toward me with love, and I keep reaching toward him with love. But how can you say that, and how can it have meaning? It can have meaning only in the sense that you experience love in a human relationship, and it's this love between Rona and me that has really helped me to understand the love of God, and in that sense has been a such a formative factor in not only my life, not only in the details of job and home and children and all the things that go on there, but in my whole outlook toward life and toward the meaning of existence and the relationship of human beings like myself and a God that we believe in. So she's meant all these things to me that go well beyond the usual list of things that the sociologists and marriage counselors give of what should be between a husband and wife. She has set a standard for me that matches so very well in its high quality that which my father and mother set. And I continually am amazed that I was blessed with all that. Something in which I certainly can't claim any merit. So insofar as bad things may have hit me, I can't really ask why did God do this to me, because before I can ask that question, I really have to answer the more difficult question, is why did he do all the good things for me? Because those are so overwhelmingly good.
Well, that was a beautiful way to express it. And what's your children's role in your life?
Well, children, as you know, because you have your children too, are a fulfillment and extension of your own lives. And having children has all the frustrations as well as the great rewards of seeing individuals that are part of you become individuals that are also independent. And I'm really very proud of our two sons. They're quite different one from the other in terms of their what they're seeking in life in terms of their outlook on life, but I'm really terribly proud of the fact that they have developed into fine, decent, clean-living gentlemen, neither of them having been involved in anything that has ever given us any cause for shame or any cause for real recrimination. I suppose that this is a point in which one could beat himself on the chest with pride and say, look, we did everything right and that's why they turned out so well. But I know that's not really so, because I know of so many people who did, quote, everything right, unquote, and it didn't turn out so well. So here again are other blessings, and both of them have been and are today sources of pride for us, in each in his own way and in quite different ways.
If you wanted to pass on to them a lesson of life, what is it you think that it's most important thing that you would like to pass on to your children?
Oh, no question about that. Most important thing I'd like to pass on to my children and to my grandchildren, and God willing someday great-grandchildren, is the Jewish heritage that was passed on to me and the importance of maintaining that heritage and exerting the influence that it can have on the world as a whole, because it is not only a way to enrich our own lives, those of us who are Jews, but a way to make life better and richer and finer, full of more meaning for those who aren't Jews. I know, going to sound chauvinistic to many who listen to this tape, but I believe that we do have a mission in life. I do believe in a covenantal relationship with God. And I do believe that we, who are part of that covenant, have a responsibility to be Mamlechet Kohanim, a nation of priests, or the Goyim, a light to the nations. And that we must do that by the way we live and by the examples we set. And I know that the world is full of all too many examples of those who are Jewish and who don't set good example, who are far from priest-like and light-like in their lives. But that's not God's fault, and that's not the Jewish people's fault. That's because they have broken the covenant, and they have scorned it and abused it. And I still feel that the most important thing, in answer to your question, I don't have to hesitate a second, the most important thing I can pass on to them is a passion for understanding what it is to be a Jew and for reaching toward God in the way we learn and in the way we live.
Nissen, what would you like to say about your grandchildren?
There's a difference. I think all of us who have grandchildren have noted a difference between one's relationship with grandchildren and the relationship with children. And I'm not sure about all the reasons for the difference. Some people have jokingly said it's because you can get all the pleasure from them and none of the aggravation. When they start kicking up their heels, you can leave or send them home. But it's, of course, much more than that. I think it's that we bring our children up at a time of life in which there's a great deal of striving, and in which particularly the male in the in the family, maybe today the female also, but in my generation, particularly the male in the family, is so preoccupied and going out to kill the saber-toothed tiger that relationship is, I think, obscured, perhaps, distorted, perhaps, particularly for fathers, because, as I said, it is a period of professional growth in which we're often pursuing these things that I referred to as Tyndall. I think by the time your grandchildren come, assuming you have some reasonable amount of maturity in your years, you've gotten beyond that, and you see them for what they are, which is a touch of eternity. I think that all of us in our early years have, despite our knowledge of the finiteness of life, have a tendency to ignore it and act as if it will go on and on forever. I think all of us in our 20s, for example, even in our 30s, felt that we were going to live forever. We knew we weren't intellectually, but I think emotionally, it was going to go on forever. There was going to be a tomorrow and a tomorrow and a tomorrow and a next year and a next year and a next year. There was no end to it. Somewhere, unless you're particularly dense, somewhere in your 50s, certainly by 60, you've got to come to grips with the idea that it's half over, more than half over, maybe two-thirds over, maybe more. You can't ignore it any longer. And I think the finiteness of life overwhelms you at that time. And that's about the time when God in his infinite wisdom gives us grandchildren, those of us who are fortunate enough to have children. And the grandchildren become our stake in eternity. And at this time when the finiteness of our own lives overwhelms us, we see in them a new life, new lives that are starting up, and which lay before them with a stretch, with that same stretch of infinity that they lay before us in an earlier year. And so I think there's a relationship between grandparents and grandchildren for that reason that's quite different. Also, by that time, we have come to realize the extent to which our parents, the generation that went before us, parents, aunts, uncles, has influenced us, and to what a great extent we are more a product of what they were than we are of these things I've called Tyndall-like things that hit us. I mean, I know to many people, maybe the fact that I went to Harvard and a bachelor's degree and a PhD at MIT really says who I am, but it really doesn't. To know who I am, they should know my father and my mother and my wife and my Jewishness. And I think we get to see that when we get to be grandparents. And the fact that these grandchildren bear names that then have rich meaning for us. Our children bear names that have meaning for us too, but it's too early when that happens. And when we see these youngsters, when I see, for example, Danielle has my mother's name, Dina, and Sarah has Rona's mother's name, Sarah, and Kayla has Amy's parents' name. This is really her grandparents' name. These things have a meaning that I think your own children don't bring to it. And so it's a whole new ball game. Grandchildren are not just another set of children. They're a whole new excitement in and of themselves. And they're, Ira Pete really our stake in eternity, and have a very special meaning in that sense.
Well, it's, you've expressed it very well. I feel as though your own illness now probably makes you more contemplative, or certainly you're thinking about these things more. Has your illness in any way made you rethink your life?
I don't really think so. I think it obviously sharpens this idea of finiteness that you have.
Yes.
I mean, when someone starts telling you you've got so many years to live, it could be this few, it could be that many, the median is in here.
Yeah.
We don't like to get numbers on our lives. We all know what our life expectancy is, but when someone gives us numbers because of a disease, a terminal disease, and particularly if these numbers have the audacity to be less than normal insurance table life statistics, life expectancies, it really does sharpen the finiteness, this feeling of finiteness. But to say that changes the way I look back on life or look on what I'm doing, I can't really say it has. It would be very dramatic to say so. It really hasn't. The decision to cut back on working and then step up the amount of studying, as I said, I really date back to really 1983
mm-hmm.
September,
mm-hmm.
Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur
mm-hmm.
period, which is prior to either the cancer diagnosis or the heart problems led to the cerebral bypass. So it hasn't affected that. In terms of looking back on world and commerce would look on as the great accomplishments of my life, looking back at them as having very little meaning, I don't think that's I don't mean that as voicing a regret.
Mm-hmm.
I think at each stage of my life, I really enjoyed what I was doing. God help me, but I did. I mean, some of it was foolishness, but I enjoyed it while I was doing it. So I can't look at what I did in the 1960s through the eyes of the 1980s, that just doesn't have any meaning. It's like speaking in a foreign language that's not my own. So I'm not sure that regrets have any meaning, because I can truly say that I, for the most part, not 100%, but for the most part, enjoyed every stage of all this. I can't say 100% because I would be lying. Nobody enjoyed every day of his life. There are aggravating things in every job, aggravating things in every relationship. But I can honestly say that I did what I wanted to do at each of these transitions, which really took me through teaching into industrial research and into general management, and then completely out of technical work into primarily financial and operational type of management, and then the academic esoteric pursuits of biblical exegesis and Talmud that I have so much passion in today and over the past decade or so. Each of these really was enjoyable in its period. Now, in my present sense of values, a lot of it was, I think, a waste of time, and I look back on how naive and stupid I was to be running around trying to make money rather than doing something real meaningful. But that's really looking at one bracket of time through the eyes of another bracket of time, which I don't think really has had any real meaning. So I really can't say that illness has changed my outlook on the past, outlook to toward the future, except insofar as it changes the time frame. You have to be stupid enough to say that doesn't affect you there.
Well, I thank you very much, Nissen, and
it's a great pleasure.
We will sign off.